It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Okay, so what is your favorite burger in Wisconsin? Is it a longtime staple or something pretty new you just encountered? If you're looking for something new to try, George Motes has you covered. He's cataloged some of the best burgers in Wisconsin as part of a nationwide guidebook. The latest edition of Hamburger America was released earlier this year. It features 220 restaurants organized by state, documenting regional burgers and both new and old burger joints nationwide. George Motes is a restaurant owner, a burger scholar, and the author of Hamburger America, a state-by-state guide to 220 of the greatest burger joints across the country. He recently spoke with host Rob Ferret.
All right, looking at your book, just starting at the table of contents, Wisconsin, heavily represented. We're second, I think, only to Texas, which is bigger and more beef-forward. What is it about Wisconsin that makes us have so many great burgers?
The one thing that Texas does not have that that Wisconsin has in a big way is a variety. There's not a lot of burger variety in Texas. A lot of great burgers, don't get me wrong. I mean, lots of great burgers. But I would say that there's only one other state that may rival Wisconsin, which is Ohio, for variety and also quantity. So that's quantity and quality.
And the variety reminds me, I love your burger philosophy, right? Because I could imagine somebody going into the burger world thinking, here's my vision of the ideal burger, and I'll measure the burgers I try compared to that. You very explicitly like variety, and you want to see regional variation and people trying new stuff. Why do you want to see that, I guess, diversity in the burger world?
For the very simple reason that you should never walk into a restaurant and place your expectations on someone else's burger that they're going to produce. You should accept what they're making and like it or not. It's as simple as that. It's true. You shouldn't go in. I remember in the old days, people would walk into restaurants with calipers and scales and weigh burgers and say, well, the cheese wasn't thick enough, so therefore it goes down a click in my book. It's absolutely the wrong way to do things. Is that the way I see it is if a restaurant has been making burgers the same way for 100 years, then you really have no business at all imparting your wisdom, your supposed wisdom, on their history.
Well, let's start naming names. And here's a story. I think you've told some before, but this is an important part in your development as a burger fan. Solly's Grill in Glendale. It was an early love of yours. It made it into your film about burger places. And, of course, it's still in your book. What is it about Solly's Grill?
Solly's is simply one of the greatest butter burger emporiums on earth. And, of course, outside of Wisconsin, very few people don't understand what a butter burger mm-hmm. is. We don't have to explain it, I'm sure, on this show. I hope not, at least. But the difference between most butter burger places and Solly's is that at Solly's, they actually use about a 2 to 3 tablespoon dollop of butter on every burger. And it's soft, it's room temperature, and it's perfect. And it really does turn butter into a condiment, just like ketchup or mustard.
You also, in addition to evaluating the burgers themselves in the book, you also love going into the story, right? Part of the joy of this for you is the story of the owner, or often in these places that have been around for decades, owners over the years. What's the story of Solly's?
So Solly's has been around for a very long time, since the 1930s. It's moved a few times. It has a really cool story where at one point they were asked to move only a few hundred yards to make way for a heart outpatient facility. So the joke is, of course, you can't write that up. If you thought you've had too many Butterburgers, just walk across the parking lot and have your heart examined, right? they've had a great, great history. And, you know, honestly, there is some history there where apparently, and I'm not entirely sure, but apparently it is the birthplace of the modern, the real Butterburger in Wisconsin was at Solly's.
Speaking of birthplace of the burger, you don't really get into this in the book, I don't think, but Seymour, Wisconsin claims to be the birthplace of the hamburger, right? The concept and execution of the hamburger. Other communities in the country have other claims too. How do you weigh that claim of where the hamburger was invented?
You know, it's a great question because there really is no answer. We don't know. I play this game with people who want to talk about hamburger history with me. And I say, if you know so much about hamburger history, tell me who invented the hamburger. And if the answer is, I don't know, that's the right answer, because we just don't know. It was apparently invented at many different places at the same time. And there are many claims that came after the fact many, many decades later. Say, oh, yeah, my grandfather did this or my grandmother did that. Unfortunately, or unfortunately, Seymour is lumped into that history. But we really don't know who invented the hamburger or when it happened. And there's a real big reason for that. It's mostly because, you know, back when the hamburger was being invented, it wasn't newsworthy. It's amazing how today there are so many news stories about hamburgers. But back then, it was just ethnic German food, a food you'd find at a fair, fairgoers would eat hamburgers, but it wasn't newsworthy. So therefore, the invention of the hamburger didn't really have a great origin story.
Now, I love brats, and I have a perfect brat recipe. You find when your local American Legion or VW Post is having their brat sale, you give them money, you get a great brat. That's my great recipe. You found a similar thing for a burger in Lake Mills. American Legion Post number 67 is in your book. I haven't been there myself. Tell us about their burgers.
It's a great story because it's all the members of the post go over there and work one day a week during the summer. It's only open a few days a summer, a few days a year, honestly, only in the summertime. So you really have to time it well to get that burger. But then when they actually open for business, they sell many, many burgers a day, and they're fantastic. They're also deep fried. They're old school tank frying, where they take the patties and throw them into oil to fry them.
George Motz is with us, restaurant owner, TV host, author of Hamburger America, a state-by-state guide to 220 of the greatest burger joints across the country, 16 of those here in Wisconsin by my count. George, you've got a couple new Wisconsin additions there in the book, because you've got multiple additions over time. Rings Bar in Plain, in the Driftless area of Wisconsin. How did Rings Bar make it into the book this time?
I was led to Rings by a tip. Somebody tipped me off to Rings. It's in Plain. If you know where Plain is, it's really not near anything, which is great. Tiny, tiny, tiny town. And I think they're the third generation now of the Ring family owning it. Al Ring and his wife own it now. And they've been keeping the same tradition going for many, many years in the family. What they do is very unique, or it wasn't unique, I should say, 60, 70 years ago in the bar business. But today it's absolutely unique, where they had a small broiling grill behind the bar. And I think it's called a Star Broil-O-Grill, I think it's actually called. Almost like a tiny toaster oven, a very substantial toaster oven that has propane in it. And you can cook a burger while you're mixing a drink, literally at the same time. So it's a single operator function where someone is making drinks and making burgers at the same time. And back then, back in the day, you know, bartenders served burgers to customers so they would stay longer drinking. A lot of times they were free. They're actually free. Burgers were free back then.
Interesting. And then the other new addition, Schultz's Restaurant in Sheboygan.
Yes. The home of the Oost Burger, which, if you know what an Oost Burger is, it's a burger patty that's made from a combination of beef and brat seasoning and I guess pork too, right? It's a bratwurst.
But made into burger form.
It's formed into a patty and served like a regular burger, and it's fantastic.
All right. Now, when you're evaluating burgers, right, it could be the burger itself, but then there's the condiments. And a recurring theme in our Wisconsin ones seems to be the onions. And it's sometimes, like, I think it was the American Legion post where you just order a burger and you say with or without, and with or without means onions. How do you like onions on your burger? What really grabs you when you're getting onions on that burger?
I love all onions in all forms on a burger. Whether they're raw, they're cold, they're warm, they're caramelized, fried, no matter what that is, I really do prefer onions on a burger. And there's a reason for that. It's because, historically speaking, before there was ketchup and foie gras seasoning and truffle oils, back in the day, onion was the only condiment you could get on a burger. That's why they still serve it that way at the American Legion.
Interesting. Now, I got to ask, as somebody with a restaurant making burgers, you've been exposed to all these different ways of making burgers, right? How do you decide what you're serving up at your own restaurant? Do you have like one go-to method, or are you doing all kinds of different burgers inspired by your travels?
So yes and no. We do have two burgers on the menu at all times. And I believe these are two burgers that have stood the test of time, 150 years of burger making. One is a classic smash burger. The original American burger was a smash burger. It's not, even though it's a trendy thing today, you know, the smash burger has actually been around since the very beginning, since the dawn of the hamburger. So we make a classic smash on a toasted bun, and that's it. But we also make an Oklahoma onion burger, Oklahoma fried onion burger specifically, my version of it, which is slightly different. But it's basically just, you know, thin sliced onions that have been smashed into the burger, and that's it. There's five ingredients, just beef, bun, onion, salt, and cheese, and that's it. To honor the classics in America and the ones that have been around for 100 years, we do have a rotating monthly special where we bring in a burger that you can only get at Hamburger America or in that specific place somewhere else in the country. For example, this month we're running a special for the horseshoe burger, the horseshoe sandwich specifically, from Springfield, Illinois, which is a burger that is served open-faced on a piece of toast and then covered with shoestring fries and a very special cheddar cheese sauce.
I want to visit another restaurant in Wisconsin, the QP Sandwich Shop in Racine, opened in 1926, so I guess 100-year anniversary now. What makes a burger like this meet your standards a century after it first opened?
The great thing about QP is that you walk in that restaurant and it's been unaffected by time and trend. It's been doing the same thing for 100 years with an amazing amount of ease. And you walk in and the burger you had there, you know, 30, 40 years ago is the same burger you're going to have today. It's really incredible. It's incredibly consistent. And that burger is very similar to a burger that would have been served 100 years ago.
And now let's, about 200 yards from where I am, you've got Dottie Dumplings Dowry. If you want to walk another few blocks, you've got the Plaza, both in Madison. Maybe you've done a burger crawl between those two. What puts those two on your map?
Well, Dottie's is great because it is one of the very few really great, like, thick patty burgers in the state. A lot of the burgers have some sort of method going where it's indoor charcoal, it's the oost burger with the brat seasoning, whether it's the butter burger. There's so many different ways to make a burger, I feel like, so many different methods in Wisconsin. And Dottie's kind of eschews all that. They're more interested in just serving you a classic thick patty burger that is consistently great all the time. The Plaza is a very different story. The Plaza is another bar burger that's made right behind the bar on a small flat top behind the bar to feed some, you know, pretty buzzed clientele. But it serves two very specific things about that burger. It's served on a half wheat bun, and they also serve it with a sort of like a tzatziki sauce. It's like a white sauce. And it just tastes great. It's a fantastic burger, but also great when you're drinking and playing pinball.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. Now, for the home cooks out there, you know, they know they're not going to make it exactly like the restaurants. What kind of advice do you have when we're making burgers at home to give them a little extra something?
So I always tell people, it's a funny rule I have, is that if you're going to make, say, 10 burgers for 10 people, and you really should focus. I tell people to put the beer down for a minute, just trying to focus on what you're doing. Set up your all the stuff you need, your buns, your cheese, your condiments, your toppings, and have it all ready to go. Serve your guests and then hit the booze if you're doing that sort of thing, and celebrate your success. That really is a very important part of cooking, is to make sure you've impressed everybody, and it can be done. And also to keep it very simple. Don't try to add 17 different condiments and toppings. Just come up with a burger you saw somewhere you really want to make, and keep your condiment list to like no more than two or three. And then just, you know, follow some basic rules and have a great time.
And what is the best way, you think, for the home cook to make it? Skillet, grill, or all of the above?
One of the most difficult ways to make a burger, I tell people, is on a grill. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to make a burger on a grill unless you know what you're doing, you've done it before, or you have some practice. One of the easiest ways to make a burger is to put it into a skillet. If you're cooking outside, another great method is to actually put the skillet onto the grill, and that way you have control. You have some control over the burger itself and cooking temperatures. It's just a much easier way to make a burger and cook it in a pan.
Now, finally, I got to ask you, you've had lots of burgers, obviously, over the years. You're clearly not sick of them at this point. What is it about the burger that has captured so much of your professional and personal life?
You know, it's a great question. I haven't really given it that much thought, but I do know that it's for some reason, It's unbelievably satisfying all the time. It's actually very easy to make a burger. People think it's very difficult and they make mistakes, but it's actually not that difficult to make a burger. If you're just following some of the basic rules and using fresh ingredients, it's pretty easy to make a burger. And it's also, it's unbelievably satisfying. It really does satisfy everything you want at that moment where it's hot. It's a little bit of cold lettuce in there, maybe. You've got sweetened, you've got salt, you've got savory, you've got all these elements, crunchy. Everything's in there in one bite, usually, if you're lucky. And that really is, I don't think there's anything more satisfying.
George, it's been great talking to you. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That is George Motes, a restaurant owner, TV host, and the author of Hamburger America, a state-by-state guide to 220 of the greatest burger joints across the country. The fourth edition of Hamburger America released earlier this year, and he spoke with host Rob Ferret.